Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm thrilled to have back as my guest today Lee Child, and we'll be discussing The Hard Way, which has just been published by Delacorte and is available in your bookstores. Mr. Child was a guest last year, and we discussed One Shot, which is now available in Dell in paperback. So first of all, Lee, thank you very much for taking time out of a busy schedule to talk with us.
It's a complete pleasure to be back on your show, Casey.
Lee, with The Hard Way, this is the 10th Jack Reacher novel, and it seems to me that serendipity has followed you on this path with Jack Reacher, where we find ourselves in the world today and as a people. And Jack Reacher seems to be a character right now which just, I think he is a perfect man for our time right now. And that's not, you can't chase a subject or a topic. And when you started this out, did you have any idea, in the back of your mind, were you thinking of the evolution of where you would go with Reacher as a character?
You know, it would have been very, very presumptuous to have thought that way because, you know, I was just listening to what you said then. You said the 10th Jack Reacher, which is a miracle in itself, really. You know, when you start out in this business, you really hope to get one book published, maybe two. It's kind of foolish to think ahead to 10 books because how many people does that happen to? So I can't really say that I made a plan, but you're right. In as much as around about halfway through that 10-year evolution, Reacher became suddenly relevant. You know, he'd been a sort of historical character before that, where many times in human history there have been occasions where you want people like Reacher around. But I had no idea, obviously, that about halfway through the run, we would enter a world where he is suddenly more relevant than ever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I say this with respect when I say that I remember as a child, I remember reading the books, I remember reading comic books about Superman, and I felt safer after I read those comic books when I was 6 or 7 years old. And here I am 42 years later, and when I read The Hard Way, I just felt a little better about life when I finished the book.
Well, thank you, but that's really the point of the character in as much as, you know, people assume that I invented Reacher, and certainly in terms of his personal characteristics, I did, but fundamentally, this is a character that has always existed, and all the way through human history, going back many thousands of years, for the very purpose that you just mentioned. You know, in our dark, scared moments, we crave the mysterious stranger who can show up and help us out, and that character has come to the fore time and time again in different guises. You know, certainly we know characters like that from the Westerns. You know, you're out there on the frontier in danger and peril, and a mysterious rider comes in from the range and sorts out the trouble and then rides off into the sunset, which was a version of the character that came from the Middle Ages in Europe, the knight errant who would just show up at the right time and solve the problem. It's a human craving that we've always had. And you're right, having a person like that around does make us feel safer. It makes us feel that when the chips are down, there is still hope.
Yes. And The Hard Way, I would say I read a lot of mystery crime, and I would say this year thus far, from what I've read, I would put The Hard Way and Kill Me by Stephen White as probably the two best mystery I've read so far this year. And in The Hard Way, I think one of the things that I found fascinatingly is that Reacher is now having to adapt to a post 9/11 world technologically, and it's fascinating to see how he maintains his integrity as a character and has to adapt to the change in technology that he has to face, particularly when he travels abroad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, really, as a metaphor, I had him completely off the radar and traveling with no ID and obviously no luggage or anything like that, and which is a metaphorical statement. You know, this is a character who, as well as having a physical existence, has a moral existence, and he's an idea as much with the realities of life after 9/11, I couldn't continue that forever, so I have had to make him adapt. You know, he now carries a passport, because without some photo ID, you just can't do anything anymore. And so I'm anxious to make him engage with the reality of the world in terms of details like that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And he has, in one of the ways you use in The Hard Way, is one of his, one of the characters is very technically sophisticated, Pauling, and she has the BlackBerry and knows how to access all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really liked her character because she is the technologically savvy person, and Reacher has the good judgment of who he trusts and who he does not trust with the technology.
Yeah, exactly. And Pauling is also older than Reacher, which is a departure, actually, in terms of the series. That the partner and the love interest is an older woman rather than a younger woman,
mm-hmm.
which I thought gave it a flavor of maturity. You know, it makes Reacher, in a sense, the junior partner at times.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, I would imagine that you have a very large female readership. A lot of women read your books. And what is it most surprising to you as a man that women react to in Jack Reacher that perhaps that we as males would be surprised by? Because I'm married to a very strong, independent woman. I've always known women were stronger than men. Reacher does too. But what are some of the things that you get or people tell you about that surprise you?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is surprising to an extent, although I think it's true that everybody has more women readers than men, because women, I think, in terms of fiction buying, are much more willing and adventurous. So I think everybody has a slight majority of women. My majority of women is bigger than most people's, which is surprising, in as much as, at first glance, these books look like guidebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Reacher's a rough, tough, dirty, unhygienic character. Rather bad at communication, certainly bad at commitment. And on the face of it, that should be a turn-off. But clearly it isn't a turn-off. I mean, all the most rabid fans are women. And it's been an ongoing voyage of discovery for me to work out why. And as it happened, you mentioned One Shot last year. For the promotion tour for One Shot, I ended up at a bookstore event where there were 120 people in the audience, and all of them were women.
All of them?
All of them. And so we had it developed into a discussion, why? You know, my question was, you know, let's talk amongst ourselves here, and you tell me what it is that you like about this guy or these books. And they came up with four fascinating reasons, actually. It was a very cogent discussion. I love the American reading audience, because after so many years now of book clubs, people have actually become very good at figuring out their reactions to books, and they're very good at talking about it and expressing it, and it was a great discussion. And we ended up, the first reason is that women at some kind of elemental level are much more upset by injustice than men are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only true in my experience. I think men are quite good at figuring, you know, everything's a shade of gray, whereas women are still capable of just slamming their fist on the table and saying, it's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the arc of a Reacher narrative is something starts out unfair and it ends up fair big time, because that's what Reacher does. And I think women really respond to that narrative arc. The second reason they came up with is that even now, sadly, and possibly your wife like mine will feel this, is that even now women find it hard to express anger in a way that is socially acceptable. You know, you have that old cliche that an angry man is called assertive,
mm-hmm.
and an angry woman is called shrill.
Mm-hmm.
That is still a problem that women have, and they get a lot of vicarious satisfaction out of watching Reacher kick somebody's butt, because that expresses their feelings without them actually having to run the risk of being seen as aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The third reason was simply just attraction. You know, they find Reacher to be a hot guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth reason is very interesting to me, which is that if you meet a hot guy, obviously you have certain inclinations towards him. But of course, in real life, you don't do anything about it, because it's all too messy. You know, you can't have an affair because somebody will find out. You'll get divorced. There'll be endless trouble. But of course, with a character like Reacher who moves on, that's the one thing you can guarantee with Reacher. He's a drifter. He will move on. He might come visit you for 3 or 4 days, but you can guarantee he'll move on and you'll never hear from him again, which is a kind of perfect little bubble of a relationship with no comeback. And I think that's a fantasy that a lot of women indulge.
Mm-hmm. And John D. McDonald in the Travis McGee series captured it perfectly as well. He was kind of a healer of women, and his alter ego, Meyer, added some of the economic density to what McDonald wrote about that was going on down in Florida. And Reacher doesn't have that alter ego, but I think certain writers, of which you are now in that category, if you read Lee Child 25, 50 years from now, you can kind of track what's going on in the world through the character. And I think Ross Thomas did that as well.
Yeah, and I think it's an obligation that we have, really. I think that we've got to comment on society as we see it. And in a sense, crime novels are doing that really better than any other form of fiction right now. I don't want to have it too much in your face. I don't want it to read like a political essay or a sociological treatise or anything, but it needs to be there in the background. It's an interesting point about McGee and Mayer as a duo, because there's an awful lot of duos in fiction, and I wanted to avoid that. I wanted Reacher to kind of be his own sidekick. He's both sides of the character in one, really, that he has a certain amount of deception and learning and education, and yet on the other hand, he's simultaneously a man of action. So he is his own sidekick in that sense.
Has the thought, Lee, of ever doing anything in the first person entertained you, or is third person just the perfect way to write about Reacher right now?
Well, right now it is. I mean, out of the 10 books, 3 of them are in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
I swap back and forth.
Yeah.
In terms of what the story demands, my preference would always be for the first person, because it's the most natural way of telling a story. It's what we all do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all go home tonight and we'll say to our partners, I did this, I did that, this happened to me, somebody said this to me. That's the natural way of telling a story. But first person is limiting for a thriller plot, in as much as you can never know what else is happening around the corner. You can only know what the hero knows.
Right.
So in terms of storytelling versatility, third person is a lot more flexible. And if I feel that the story needs an alternative point of view, which The Hard Way does, only very limited, actually, but Hard Way starts out with a kidnap or the result of an apparent kidnap, and we need to see the kidnapper's perspective. And so as soon as we need to see that, then that means that the book has to be in the third person, because you can't have a first-person narrative with an alternative point of view. It just doesn't make any logical sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I apologize. I knew some of them had been in the first person, but the last two in particular.
Right, but
the third person has been.
The stories in the last two, especially One Shot last year, was a definite multi point of view book. As I say, this one has a limited alternative point of view, and the next one also has the one that will be coming out next year is third person again, simply because we needed to see what was happening back at the ranch, as it were.
Yeah. Now, Lee, when you start The Hard Way, is there a part of you that is like Reacher? The Hard Way is so intricately plotted that do you have to just disappear for a while to write these, because your attention to detail is impeccable, and that I think is what differentiates a great book from an extraordinary book. Is the attention to detail, and how do you accomplish that with the promotional demands and the publishing cycle that you're in?
Well, like you say, it's pretty much a question of the year falls into two halves. You know, one half of the year I'm either out and about promoting or, you know, relaxing or taking a vacation or whatever, and then over the winter I'm basically shut away creating the next book. So it is, it's about immersion and the attention to detail. You know, Reacher is an observant man, I'm an observant writer, and I just start out looking at it through Reacher's eyes. What is he going to see? What is he going to notice? And I fill the first half of the book with those observations, and then, like he has to, I have to make sense of it in the second half of the book. But it is a very isolated process, and I don't think you can really combine the two. I know some writers will go out on tour and, you know, they take their laptop and they work in the hotel room or on the plane or whatever. I certainly couldn't do that. I need that kind of immersion into the fictional world where I'm undisturbed.
And in The Hard Way, you, Edward Lane is one of the protagonists, and there's a kidnapping. And as you were starting down the track of the story, there are a lot of really nice twists and turns, and we won't give any of them away. But how much of the idea did you have when you start? When you start out on the novel, how much outlining have you done, and how much changes as you go?
You know, I start out with a sort of basic proposition. I mean, it's a bit like baseball. You know, you can say we're going to play 9 innings and one team will win. You know, that can be the sort of basic outline. What happens pitch by pitch and in each inning and the order of the runs scored and how they're scored happens spontaneously. And that's pretty much how I do the writing. I have the shape of it, the theme, the basic structure, and then I just set off at the beginning and the incidental stuff and some of the twists, a lot of the twists and turns, in fact, just happen spontaneously as we go along.
Mm-hmm. And in I'm still fascinated with the 120 people showing up, and they're all women. And there's the daughter, the mother-daughter bond is very strong as well in this book. And it's interesting that I think that Thomas Friedman, whose book The World is Flat, has achieved great acclaim, and he's updated it. And he said that one of the things he had to change was that he didn't realize that how savage people around the world could be, and the level of human behavior has changed so dramatically that there's a scene in The Hard Way, which we won't describe, but it goes to the edge of brutality. And readers can now accept that, and it's not considered over the top, and it's not considered offensive. And I find that particularly interesting with the women readership, that you write scenes like that, and it doesn't bother them.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that has interested me as we've gone along. I mean, on the face of it, actually, women are biologically accustomed to pain and blood, you know, because they have babies. Uh-huh. I think that women are pretty good at dealing with pain and suffering. And so it's not so much the physical aspect that needs getting over. It's the basic optimism that people have in America, especially. In America, people are full of goodwill. They're full of optimism. They want to believe the best about the world. And so when you write a scene that is brutal and unpleasant, it's not so much the visceral offense that you're giving, it's the blow to their optimism that they have to get over. And I've had a lot of mail in the past saying, oh, come on, surely that wouldn't happen. Even when we know that it does happen and it has happened and it's perfectly obvious that it will happen, people's sense of optimism makes them not want to believe it. And in a sense, what you're saying is that sense of optimism has now been tempered by reality. And in a way, that's good, because people should face the world as it really is. In a way, it's very sad that you know, the death of optimism is something that is a consequence of our times.
Mm-hmm. And my friend Andre Debuse, when I used to correspond with him, he would say that Americans are too obsessed with first world problems, money, power, status, prestige. And you've garnered a worldwide audience. And I think part of that might be the fact that Reacher is not hung up on a lot of the first world problems that so many American novelists write about. Reacher has seen parts of the world that others might not have seen, and he writes about it, and Americans are more willing to accept it now, perhaps, like we were saying.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah, Reacher is a world citizen rather than the citizen of any particular nation, and he brings the world to people, and like you say, people are now, their horizons are wider, their expectations are a little more grave, and they're much readier to accept what goes on.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, is what are you happiest about with The Hard Way, as far as craft goes? What are from one shot to The Hard Way? What progress do you see in your work from one novel to the next? What are you happiest about for the that the listeners should know about for The Hard Way?
Well, I think two things, to be honest. One is that I think The Hard Way flows really well. You know, it starts on page one and it ends where it ends, and there are no real jumps to make. You know, it just flows from one page to the next without any obvious joints or seams or welds. It just heads from A to Z and gets there in a very progressive manner. The other thing I really like about it is it struck me as it's the 10th book, but it's the first book where there isn't something I regret. You know, all the other books, there is something in them that I think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that, or why did I do that, or I should have done this differently. But The Hard Way is the first one where I'm not feeling that.
Good.
Now, what that means, I don't exactly know, but it's progress of a sort, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I mean, I obviously. And I'm an admirer of the novels, and don't read them as you obviously are your harshest critic, as most good novelists are. But yeah, when I read The Hard Way, I did. It was seamless, and it really I thought was I think it's your best book yet, and it did feel new in certain ways, and that's really exciting for me as a reader, that Reacher is continuing to exist and grow in the world going forward. And I know I asked you last time, you're committed to the Reacher series, is that correct?
Yeah, I really am, because I just have a feeling that there are plenty of writers in the world, and it's not up to any one of us to cover all the bases, you know. If you want a different book than Reacher, or as well as Reacher, then, you know, there's a lot of fine writers that you can turn to. What I'm going to do is the Reacher series as long as I can, and I really hope people enjoy them. But even if they do, even if they think they're the greatest books in the world, there's still another 51 weeks of the year where they get to read other things. So it's a collaborative industry in a funny sort of way. All of us current exponents of the genre at the moment, we all offer our wares, and it's not really a competition, simply because it doesn't take you a year to read a book, you know. Mm-hmm. At most, it'll take a week, and so, as I say, there's 51 other books you can read before the next Reacher comes out.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, before we wrap up, what's the status of the film projects with Reacher?
Well, the rights all sold, as you know, and Paramount is working very hard on developing a franchise. It's hard to say which book they're going to start with, because their idea is to make this a multi-title sequence that lasts at least maybe three or four movies. And I got a call last week saying, from one of the producers, saying, call me back for an update. So I'm going to do that today, probably. And, you know, we'll see where it's up to at the moment.
Well, good. Yeah, I think that's a natural, and I wish you success with that venture as well. Will you be involved in screenwriting at all, or just as an advisor?
I'm going to stay right out of it, because as a matter of fact, I wrote a script this year for somebody else, a completely unrelated project, not Reacher at all. And, well, in fact, when I say wrote it, I rewrote it. Somebody had a project that was a great concept, but it wasn't working, and they asked me to rewrite it based on the kind of approach I've taken in the books. And I saw how to be distant from the original creation is a really, really good thing for writing a movie script. So I would be actually happier if a screenwriter I didn't know and never heard of was to do it, because I think that triangulation, the distance, the separation between the original text and the screenplay, I think that produces the best result.
Very good. Lee, thank you very much for your time today. We've been discussing The Hard Way, just published by Delacorte. One shot's available in paperback. And Lee, if we can, I'd like to pencil you in when the next Jack Reacher comes out, and we'll catch up with you and find out what's going on then.
You bet, Casey. I'll be here waiting.
Great. Thanks a lot.